WMFO Medford, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Happy to be here with you. So, Tufts University Art Gallery. There's a picture here. It's an Andy Warhol, Kimiko Powers, 1972 Oolong canvas. Tufts University Art Gallery is dedicated to conceiving and presenting exhibits and educational programs that explore new global perspectives on art and art discourse. All exhibitions and related programming are free and open to the public and fully accessible. The Tufts University Art Gallery is located in the Eidichman Arts Center at 40 Talbot Avenue on the Somerville Medford campus of Tufts University. For current exhibitions and hours, just search the web for Tufts University Art Gallery, or you can also call 617-627-3518. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. And while I'm at it, I'm going to just check out what's happening. This is the Brattle film and event schedule going up through June 27th. And let's see what's happening. So let me see if I can find... A little hard to read this. Let's see. This is April through June. So today, I think we're at the 19th. So that's not... June. Okay, June. That's what we want. So June... I must have the wrong date today. Because today is a Wednesday, June 15th. Rafiki at 8 o'clock, and the Harvard Bookstore presents Rick Atkinson at 6 o'clock. Okay. And that's not May. Let's see. Is this? Oh, I see how they've got it. And each page is separate. All right, so that makes more sense. Wednesday. It's to be announced. Okay. But on Friday, The Eyes of Orson Welles at 4:30, 7, and 9:30. And then, again, The Eyes of Orson Welles, 2, 7, and 9:30. And Citizen Kane at 4:30. You can go to brattlefilm.org for their complete schedule. One of the films that they had been showing, it's right on the cover, they had Down to the Bone, but Winter's Bone, that's the one. Director Deborah Granick was in person. That was June 1st. That film I saw at an arts museum in Utica, and I had no idea until recently that Jennifer Lawrence was starring in that. That was an incredibly challenging film. Wow. And my mother and I had no idea what we were going to see. It was brilliant, but very dark. Ooh, talk about black. Yes, it was. Okay, so trying to think of what all is going on in the world that I want to say anything about. Pretty much, we have humidity, so it rained, which is good, keeping everything nice and green. And the flowers seem pretty happy, which is a good thing, especially if you've got plants that you're tending, whether it's flowers or vegetables, maybe. And my friend lost her mom last week, she was 96, down on the Cape, and so she's very involved in all the arrangements for family and such. she had been in a nursing home, but was still pretty much with it. But I'm going to see my mom down in upstate New York. My sister and I are going to go down this week, and looking forward to seeing Mom. She's also in a nursing home, and she is, thank God, 102. God bless her. And with it, and still reading voraciously. So we're trying to get her books that she might enjoy. All right, so we're going to start off with some Gotta Dance here on The Voicemobile at WMFO at Tufts University. Ο Θεός
עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, האומר לקדוש ברוך הוא. עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור, תסתדר לבד. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור, תסתדר לבד. בסדר גמור, תסתדר לבד. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. 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 הקדוש ברוך הוא, עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, האומר לקדוש ברוך הוא. עזוב אותי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי, אל תסתכל עליי. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור, תסתדר לבד. הקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לו, בסדר גמור, תסתדר לבד. בסדר גמור, תסתדר לבד. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך. ריבונו של עולם, אני לא מסוגל להסתדר בלעדיך.
times in Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth. Here we go.
I think it sounds like a didgeridoo on there. Let me see if there's actually one listed. This is Chaim David and the Good News Bearers, the Aussie jig. And, yes, there is a didgeridoo. I could hear it. Menachem Katz is the one playing that. That's Chaim David Sirachik on lead vocals, acoustic guitars, and Griffin. Natan Rosens, Rothstein, keys and vocals, Avi Hirschberg, basses and vocals, Menachem Katz, as I said, on drums, percussion, harmonica, didgeridoo, and vocals, Ben Katz, electric guitars, lap steel, and vocals. All right. Before that, Andy Statman from Wisdom, Understanding, and Knowledge. Devekis Nigun was the title. And we opened up with Yehuda Glantz from his Gotta Dance CD, Ni Lo Mishuga. So I just saw something very nice I'd like to share with you on my email, if I can pull it up here. Okay, so this is from the Ruderman Family Foundation. CBS is the first to sign the Ruderman Pledge. So CBS is the first major entertainment company to sign the Ruderman Pledge. We are proud to announce CBS as the first Hollywood company to sign the Ruderman Family Foundation Pledge. Through our work for authentic representation in entertainment, we are enlisting Hollywood studio networks and production companies to commit to audition actors with disabilities with each new production. The Ruderman Family Foundation commends CBS for its leadership in becoming the first major media company to pledge to audition actors with disabilities for roles in their productions, Foundation President Jay Ruderman said. Well, that's very exciting. I think that's the essence of it. I mean, it seems like it makes total sense. If you're going to have somebody with a disability in the cast, well, actually, it doesn't just mean that. It means that anybody with a disability should be considered for the part if they can do the job. There you go. So we're going to go now to South Africa. La 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 la
Friday night. So holy, so exalted. And the first thing we are doing, we are greeting our children, the angels from heaven. And I say to my children, maybe I never told you, maybe I never told you, you're my angels. I could never live without you, my most holy angels, my most beautiful angels. Then I say, Bayachem Lesholayim, may your coming to this world be full of peace. I bless you to live in a peaceful world. My house should be so holy just to make it peaceful for you. Then I say, Yebuchuni Lesholayim, my most beautiful children, bless me. I'm begging you, children, bless me to be a good father. Bless me to be a good mother. Bless me to be worthy of having such holy children. And then I say, someday, my beautiful children, you will walk out of my house and you'll build your own holy temples. I'm crying before the one, before the only one. This is my deepest prayer. Say, Eschem L'Sholayim, my beautiful children, when you walk out of my house, please remember every moment I loved you so much. Please remember every Shabbos, remember every kiss, remember every embrace. Remember every night you called me and you woke me up, and I was just so happy. I thank God for every night you woke me up. So I'm begging your children, say Eschem L'Sholayim. I bless you to build your own houses. I bless you to have children like you. And I bless you to love your children till the end of the world. Join me. I tell Eschem L'Sholayim, Malachei Hasholayim. Adam and Eve were driven out from paradise. You know what was missing in paradise? There were no children. And you know what brings husband and wife together? Only holy children. So every Friday night I fix the world again. Every Friday night I hope I'm building a world the way God wants it to be. Not paradise, even deeper. And you know, Adam and Eve, there's so much to fix. The whole world, just look at the world. Adam and Eve, fix so much. So you know what you do every Friday night? I tell my wife, maybe I never told you, you're so beautiful, thank you so much for bringing my children into the world. Thank you for being my queen. Thank you for teaching me what love is all about. Thank you, my holy Eve. And I'm singing, and I want you to know the words are from my father Abraham, who sang it to our holy mother Sarah. And join me. Join me.
A story about what happened, I think, 5 years ago today, if I can get this to open up. Okay. It says 55 years ago today. That was on June 18th. 16 American rabbis and one lay leader were arrested in a civil rights protest organized by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is an article off the Tablet magazine by Mitzi Steiner. Said, did you know the rabbis? I asked Rena Ayers, then 106 years young. Gewalt. Oh, sure, she said in her distinctly Southern drawl. We were sitting at her small kitchen table in Lincolnsville, the historically black neighborhood of St. Augustine, Florida. Alongside us was Cora Tyson, who at the age of 88 was as agile and alert as ever. Both women had been house mothers during the civil rights movement, hosting activists in their modest homes as they came through the city. Tyson had hosted King. Ayers, I had been told, had hosted some of the rabbis. Today, St. Augustine is known as a picturesque Florida vacation spot, famed as the nation's oldest city. It's a quaint locale that was recently lauded by the New York Times for its magic waters, moss-draped live oak trees, and butter pecan milkshakes. Yum. But just decades ago, the city was the site of some of the civil rights movement's most perilous protests. It was here that a delegation of 16 reform rabbis and one lay leader arrived at the invitation of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to stage a public protest with the goal of submitting to arrest. He Here, the rabbis were imprisoned overnight on June 18, 1964, in what was thought to be the largest mass arrest of rabbis in American history. From their cell, they wrote a joint manifesto, Why We Went, a profound document that expresses the rabbis' political and religious aspirations. Yet, the story of the St. Augustine protest and the role of its rabbinic participants is often overlooked by civil rights histories, which focus on the renowned demonstrations in Montgomery and Birmingham. Similarly, Jewish accounts prioritize the movement's iconic images, King and Rabbi Avraham Joshua Heschel. Oh, dear. Marching arm-in-arm in Selma, rather than the work of lesser-known activists. I'd never learned about the St. Augustine protests and its rabbinic participants during my college courses in civil rights. But once I found out about them, my curiosity led me to the St. John's County Jail, where the rabbis were held, and to the homes of veteran local activists. I began shuttling around the country, from Los Angeles to Cincinnati, to New York City, to track down the surviving rabbis and record their stories. Some of their reflections were sobering. It was the first time in my life that I had to confront the fact that I might be facing death, Rabbi Richard Levy told me in his office at Hebrew Union College in Los Angeles. Like many moments of grassroots activism, the story of the rabbi's arrest in St. Augustine has been carried and transmitted by the activists themselves, even as it has been largely forgotten by history. But their moment of moral witness deserves to be remembered. Well, it's a pretty long article, but I think I'll keep going here. On Tuesday, June 16th, 1964, 55 years ago, this week, Rabbi Israel Cy Dressner stood before his rabbinic colleagues at the 75th annual gathering of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, CCAR, the governing body of the Reform Movement, to read a telegram from King. It asked the rabbis to join him in protest in St. Augustine, Florida, to bear prophetic witness against the social evils of our time, and requested that a delegation of the CCAR's rabbis venture south, emphasizing that some 30 or so rabbis would make a tremendous impact on this community and the nation. King's telegram was terse. He had dictated it through the bars of his jail cell. Dressner, one of King's closest spiritual confidants, was a seasoned civil rights activist. In June 1961, he, along with 10 other clergy, had been arrested in Tallahassee, Florida. Excuse me. For attempting to integrate a, quote, whites-only, unquote, restaurant. A year later, he was jailed in Albany, Georgia, for assembling to pray for civil rights in front of City Hall, along with 75 other clergymen. His colleagues teasingly referred to him as Emeshuga Sheldavar, a man crazy for one issue, civil rights. Within hours, a delegation of 16 rabbis, representing close to 10 states and spanning a decade in age, was mobilized. Rabbis Eugene Borowitz, Balfour Brückner, Cy Dressner, Daniel Fogel, Jared Goldstein, Joel Gore, Joseph Herzog, Norman Hirsch, Leon Jick, Richard Levy, Eugene Lippman, Michael Robinson, B.T. Rubenstein, Murray Salzman, Alan Schachter, and Clyde T. Sills, Al Vorspan, the Social Action Commissioner of the CCAR and a moral voice of the Reform Movement, also joined. The delegation received a few details about their travels. A memo told the rabbis to bring as little baggage as possible. A toothbrush will suffice. Some left before they had the chance to tell their wives. The rabbis' willingness to volunteer on a moment's notice reflected their deep sense of solidarity with King. King cherished and nurtured his ties with the Jewish community and drew inspiration from what he saw as a shared Judeo-Christian tradition. Earlier that month, King had accepted an honorary degree from the Jewish Theological Seminary, sponsored by Rabbi Avraham Joshua Heschel. As Vorspan told me, with Dr. King, there was implicit trust, a profound bond of mutual respect. The following morning, at the opening session of the convention, Rabbi Samuel Soskin, chairman of CCAR's Committee on Justice and Peace, interrupted the proceedings to announce the St. Augustine delegation. His announcement was met by a standing ovation among the 500 rabbis present, but he tempered the CCAR's message of support with words of warning. Quote, I will remind you, men and women here, that these men are going down with full knowledge that perhaps there may be violence, and ken gerhargit varen, in Yiddish, they could be killed. Anyway, there's quite a lot more to this article. If you would like to go to the Tablet magazine, and this was an article by Mitzi Steiner on June 18th of 2019, 55 years ago. Well, today is the 19th, so that was yesterday, about the civil rights protests organized by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and these 16 American rabbis and one lay leader who were arrested along with King for their participation.
תצאני על מנוחות ינחלני נפשי ישובב יבואו ענחני מבוא לצדק למון שמו גבם כי אילך בגבץ המוות לא יראה לו כי אתו אימודי
אי יקר גימה, אי יסופר, אי ישוקר אי יסופר את המתגונים
Ah, the wonderful, wonderful music of Daniel Zamir, Shesh Menos, and it's on his release called Amen. Before that, we heard Daniel Gill, Miss Morla David, from his CD, The Four Worlds. And before that, let's see, Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach, Shalom Aleichem, The Blessings of the Children, and Esh Yisrael, from his CD, Live in South America. So there's something I want to share with you from the Chabad.org news about a passing of a very important man in the music world of the Hasidic tradition. It's entitled Velvel Pasternak, 85, preserver of a priceless Hasidic musical tradition, musician and scholar, transcribed and recorded historic nigunim. This is an article by Mordechai Lightstone on June 17th. Velvel Pasternak, who passed away on June 11th at the age of 85, played a critical role in transcribing and recording Hasidic melodies known as nigunim, preserving them for future generations. Now, I actually met him a couple of times because his son was a member of the community in Cambridge that I am part of, so I got to meet him. And he came because it was a celebration of the birth of his grandchild. So it says, song has always been at the heart of a Hasidic life and practice. Nigunim, usually wordless melodies, have long held a central place in prayer, study, and gatherings. Many are considered acts of divine musical inspiration, with some of the most uplifting works composed by founders of the movement, including the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yechiel Michael Zlotchever, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichever, as well as by their successors. Famously, Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi, the founder of the Chabad movement, himself a preeminent composer of nigunim, declared that the song is the pen of the soul. I love that. And at times answer practical questions posed to him with wordless melodies. Songs serve not only in the avoda, the divine service of a chassid, but also formed a sort of cultural currency as they were taught at communal gatherings and traded between Hasidic groups across Europe. By the mid-20th century, more than 200 years of musical tradition was in danger of being lost. Judaism in Eastern Europe had gone up in flames during the Holocaust or was suppressed during decades of Soviet repression, and most survivors were either trapped behind the Iron Curtain or face the assimilation and indifference of life in America and the West. Velvel Pasternak, who passed away on June 11th at the age of 85, played a critical role in recording and transcribing these tunes, preserving them for future generations. In fact, when I spoke to him, he was saying that now this was a couple of years ago, he was trying to get everything digitized because there was no longer a place for the records and the, everything had to be digital.